Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Diva JC, and I am the arts reporter. I'm not here very often, but I had a really good reason to come here today, and that is my friend Jeff Carroll, who is a writer and filmmaker, and he wrote the Hip Hop Guide to Dating. So we're going to bring him in and let him tell his own story. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, ladies. How you doing, Miss Joan? How's everything?
Terrific. I mean, world is falling.
You quarantined?
Yes, but I'm teaching online, so I'm good.
That's good.
You know? So tell us. Tell us about what you do.
Well, I'm a independent filmmaker, published writer, and a published comic book writer. And I sort of kind of use the mediums that are available to me that I've enjoyed so much in my life to kind of breathe a different energy to the world, you know. I used to call my stuff hip-hop sci-fi and hip-hop horror, and while I think it is that, this new term, black sci-fi and black horror has come into context, so I'm that as well. My style is lighthearted and deep. If you can imagine, you know, I'm more like Freddy versus Jason than I am Beloved with my horror. But my messages are John Henry Clark, you know. So that's how I roll. And I mean, I am a member of the hip hop community. So from the Hip Hop Dating Guide on to my latest productions, you're still going to find the element of that energy, you know, whether it is a space story or whether it is a horror story, I'm going to embody a little bit of hip-hop in that. So I think that kind of describes me best. And my films are micro-budget, so I'm not a Hollywood filmmaker yet. I am an independent filmmaker that's doing stuff in my actual own basement.
Oh, okay. So how many films have you made?
Oh, well, that's a fun question to answer now. I'm in the process of finishing editing my sixth film. So my editor should get this back to me in about 2 weeks, and I will have finished my sixth movie. Just so happened that right before the quarantine and all the corona hysteria, I was able to shoot 2 films in 7 days. So I am happy, and I got my fifth and sixth film in the can.
And so where do we view these films?
The last 2 films were shot on Florida Memorial University campus and my house, as well as a few other locations. We shot in a park in Broward. We shot our exteriors in a park in Broward. So pretty much just those locations for the film. We was able to, you know, knock them out and not have to do too many external locations.
Okay, and so you put them on YouTube?
No, right now the last two are still being edited. And I think, you know, they are both worthy of film festival runs. So I may go to film festivals with them, depending on the state of the film market. You know, these streaming platforms might be thirsty for content. So if I can get these out before the quarantines are over, I might even be able to get a good deal. But in terms of normal release, we shoot for Walmart. We shoot for DVD release internationally. And Walmart is one of the biggest consumers or retailers for DVDs. And then right now, the landscape changes every other month. But then we go for streaming platforms. And streaming platforms are loving it now because the theater was their main competition. And now with the theater out of the way, for a few months, it's streaming, and I'm pretty sure they're going to run out of content in a little bit. But yeah, so I don't mind going to streaming for micro budget. I can make my money back selling the DVDs on the street.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's terrific. Now, you write books too. How many books have you written?
I actually haven't counted because I'm still finishing up books, but I'm going to say somewhere around 12 or 13. That's a rough guesstimate in terms of novels and nonfiction. Yeah, about 12 or 13. And I'm outlining another book now. I want to have it finished by June, so we will see. We will see.
So where do you publish your book?
Well, my books have received publishing through different publishers who actually are still available for me to publish more, but I have chosen to self-publish my last few books, and I'm doing a series now that I've self-published. So I put my books up on Amazon, mostly because they do a convenient print-on-demand, and Amazon still dominates the e-book market. So that at the time, there was 70% of the e-book market. You still had, you know, other platforms available, but Amazon was like 70%. And that was a few years ago, so I don't know if they're 75% or they dropped down to 60%. I've just been, you know, comfortable with if people want my book, they can get it, and it is available, and I've just been really focusing on producing more content.
Okay, so you upload the book on Amazon and you print your copies from Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell us about Comic-Con, because I came there, and that was a very good weekend for me. I met some good people. and I saw some good independent films. So talk to me about how you developed this conference and where you want to go with it.
You're talking about Florida LitCon, and Florida LitCon was is a merging of mediums. It's really geared towards the writer, and that is on the platform of books, comic books, and film, and everybody else sort of funnels into that writer. And I wanted to deal with multimedia brands. So just as you see a film that has, take Black Panther, right? That came from comic books. Then it made it to film. And somewhere in between, they started writing novels and books related to it. That's the direction that I would like to see more product in the independent Black community to do, because we don't share our brand. And we have some good brands. I would just love to see them, you know, shared. If, you know, with these streaming services and these digital ebooks, it doesn't really matter what company you're with. Once your brand is built and the people know about it, doesn't matter who they buy it from. So take, for instance, and this is a property where the owner has passed away, so maybe it's up for grabs now from his wife. But take something like Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood is a beautiful story, or it's just a story that a lot of people connected to. I would have liked to have seen a sequel to Boys in the Hood. It's a beautiful story for a writer to take on and release the sequel to Boys in the Hood in a novel. I also think there can be some shoot-off stories about the different young people in that story, and those could be comic books. So that film could have a lot of legs in the multimedia community. So that's what I was trying to do with Florida LitCon. And I'm working to demonstrate that myself. As you know, it ran concurrent with the American Black Film Festival that happens on South Beach. And I'm looking to still do something in relationship to the film festival this year. We haven't made the announcement yet, but the beach is quarantined, so it's hard for me to make connections and scout for places when quarantine. And that was the fact that it took place on South Beach, and it is a piggyback event that complements the largest Black film festival in the world, per se. So that's really it, and I'm happy it went well last year. I look forward to it going well this year. Whenever this quarantine is over, I'll be able to let everybody know.
Well, the quarantine is kind of a horror story, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, it is. Yes, indeed.
But you going to write a film about this?
I know everybody is looking for stories within this quarantine, and I can think of a story about anything. I just get scared of thinking of new stories because it becomes part of my children, and I want all my children to eat and get out there. So I'm scared of thinking of new stories. A lot of what I do with my stories that I have is try to blend them together. So it sort of adds on layers to existing stories. But, yeah, I actually like the post-apocalypse, and my series, The Harlem Shake, sort of deals is with the post-apocalypse. It's a post-apocalyptic series. So this particular coronavirus hysteria is making people think about, you know, bunkers, supply bags, guns, disease apocalypse, and what if this whole world comes to an end? These are things that the happy-go-lucky, you know, people never really thought about before. But now everybody's thinking about it. It got real.
It did. And I just turned to page 131 in your book, The Harlem Shake, Nowhere to Run. And I'm just going to read this paragraph that you wrote. So this is from The Harlem Shake, Nowhere to Run by Jeff Carroll. Hordes of people rushed out of the subway train stations under Madison Square Garden and Penn Station. The station had served over 400,000 people a day, now became the city's mass grave as the high ceilings sent refrigerator-sized blocks of concrete down on the families and pedestrians in the world-renowned station. The peak hours were just beginning as people were trying to get to their safe houses to ride out the next wind and rainstorm. Even the police ran. Station security cameras showed images of transit officers so overwhelmed by train passengers that they began running with the crowd. Go, Jeff.
It sounds familiar, right? It sounds like 9/11. It sounds like everything. I'm sitting back listening to it, and I don't even remember writing that.
Whoa. Well, tell me, how do you turn your books into films, or what process did you use?
It's called an adaptation. You know, my first book, I did it the reverse. My first book that I wrote was Gold Digger Killer, nonfiction per se, right? I mean, fiction. My first fiction book was Gold Digger Killer. And I had wanted to take that book and continue what I had started in the film and do the sequel, because Gold Digger Killer had been my most successful film at the time. And I sought to condense it into a book. And that skill or that experience is what I use when I turn my books into film. Most of the time I have screenplays and film that I need to turn into books. That's kind of, you know, where I was with the cross-breeded material. Now I do have film stories that I do want to write books on. And really, you have to expand the story to bring it to a book, and you have to condense the story and cut things out to bring it to a film. A screenplay is roughly 100 pages, anywhere from 60 to 100, depending on the genre. If it's a horror or action, you may be able to get away with a 60-page screenplay. But for dramas and comedies, those are, you know, somewhere around the neighborhood of 90 pages. And in books, your book novel size ranges, but anything over, say, 40,000 words is considered a novel. You don't want to go 100,000 words, because then you're hitting, you know, a big, thick novel. But if you're writing fantasy, where you're taking place with a lot of magic in a different world, then you do see those Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones books, can run you close to 100,000 words. But your average novel is about 60, 70,000 words. That's a good, comfortable one. A lot of the urban fictions, they may be doing 40,000. And when you turn a 40,000 or 60,000 word story into a movie, you have a lot of story. So you have to cut it down. There's just a lot that's going on. So I think probably the best process that I do is going back to when you outlined your story in the beginning. All books, all comic books and film are just a small window into what's really going on. And what writers do are tell you the essential portions of that story to make it interesting and keep you engaged. And sometimes they find tricky ways to tell the story where they go back and forth between the present and the past through different characters' eyes and lenses. So when you're putting your outline together and you have a story that is a book and you want to go to a film, you pretty much have to use the book as just a source material and then actually write a new story in a screenplay. So it's almost like you're writing an original screenplay based on this story that somebody told you. But you do have the opportunity to use a lot of the lines, the dialogue, your plot is already there. So it's not like writing an original screenplay, but you do have to do some of the same elements. You might even have to adjust the story around your budget. You know, something that might take place on the top of a mountain, you might have to move that to something that you can afford to shoot it at. Or if it's, you know, if you have 50 million locations, or if you have a lot of cast, you might have to condense some of those characters. So when you're doing a film, you're pretty much doing the same thing for whether it's a real story that something happened or whether it's a book. Because with either one of those, you have to adapt it to your budget, your abilities, your cast, your locations, or whatever that is. And then you have to tell it within an hour and a half. And that's not a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, now tell us about your blog on realhealthmagazine.com.
Oh, wow. I can't even tell you when I started. I have to look it up. It may be running about 10 years now. You might have started it around 2010, I'm going to guess. But, yeah, I have been with Real Health for every other month, and it used to be monthly. Sometimes they would give me twice a month if they liked it. But my relationship with them comes from an admiration of the Real Health brand. There aren't too many black health entities, and not too many of them, I don't know any of them, that have a magazine to reach people. I found out about Real Health magazine when I was working in Miami for an organization called Empower You, who does HIV testing for HIV, for the prevention of spreading HIV. And in their clinics, they had the Real Health magazine. And so I connected with them, and they were so happy that I was doing a different type of dating advice. So my dating advice will help you find somebody to get married to and live the rest of your life happily ever after. But it has a health component to it. It's very health conscious, very health minded. I got trained in how to use condoms and teach people how to use them. And I got trained in all the venereal diseases and all those things in what I did. And that bled over into my dating advice. It actually helped me produce the little motto that I have, that the safest place to have sex is within a committed relationship. And there's another little thing that I say is that dating and healthy dating is your first line of defense from venereal diseases and heartbreak, which is just as lethal, and in fact, almost more lethal than something like herpes. So, yes, I do my dating advice through Real Health because I do dating advice with a healthy component to it, or health-minded.
Okay. So you do a lot more than just write films and produce films. You do a lot more.
Well, it, you know, it actually all is, I'm a runaway entrepreneur, which I guess a lot of entrepreneurs really are. And I get one idea and I think of two other ideas that can come off of that idea. And when I came out with my movie Gold Digger Killer, which to date is still my most successful film, I was touring it. And at my presentations about the film, after I show the film, I do a little talk about me as a filmmaker, and the questions started to continue and go on almost longer than the film. We would talk about how do you avoid a gold digger? How do you avoid a player? And I started divvying out dating advice, and so a light went off in my head and said, hey, you know, you are an advocate of this stuff because your movie has a message in it. Maybe you could, you know, give out some dating advice. And so I started researching things that I had done. I had worked with the NAACP youth group in Teaneck, New Jersey, in Bergen County. And we had always talked to the youth about healthy relationships. And I just took a lot of that coupled with my own experience and put a book together. And that was mostly because of the success of the film. And I ended up writing, which would be my first book, but it's a nonfiction book. So it's not the same as Harlem Shake and some of my other titles. But, yeah, so I kind of did it because of that. And it was just really because the movie was made with a message or with a strong purpose. And to continue the purpose, I decided to write a book and actually started giving presentations, which I still do now.
Okay. Well, this show will be archived about 15 minutes after we finish. And I hope share it because certainly they give us a lot of information about transforming a book into a screenplay. And, you know, I think that a lot of us are interested in filmmaking. I am. I have a project that I'm working on right now, and I hope it manifests, you know. But you have a great week. Stay healthy.
Oh, yes, yes. You too.
Give your family my love.
Yes, and tell your daughter I said hello. Stay inside the quarantine, and I'll see you when this is all over and give you a big hug.
Okay. Take care, Jim.
All right.
Jim,
thank you.
All right.
Translated as a nation.